This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Let the good times roll.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Yesterday, we got some very good economic news. The gross domestic product grew in the third quarter for the first time in a year, up 3.5%. The GDP is a measure of all the goods and services this country produces, and it's considered the bellwether for economic growth. Yesterday's good news has a lot of people saying the recession is over. Overseas markets are riding high on that news. Tokyo's Nikkei Index added 1.4%, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index up 2.25%, London's FTSE is up 0.33%. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 2%. China and the U.S. are in the midst of their annual trade talks. Trade has, of course, long been a source of tension between the two countries, but there's an expectation today that China might extend the olive branch and lift its ban on U.S. pork. From Shanghai, Scott Tong reports.
Chinese leaders say they will quickly resume imports of American pork. It's been banned since April. That's when swine flu broke out, even though you can't get the virus from eating the other white meat. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is in China for the trade talks. In a brief interview with Marketplace, he said a market opportunity here is the Chinese eat certain parts of the pig that Americans won't touch, like the stomach.
The organs of a hog play a much more important role in the diets of people in Asia than they do in the United States. And so I have watched shoppers shop, and what we would not necessarily accept as a delicacy is accepted as a delicacy here, and that's a great thing.
China is the world's largest consumer of pork. It's the main meat for 80% of the people. The apparent breakthrough for the U.S. industry comes 1 week after China got something it wants. President Obama signed a bill that could eventually let China export cooked chicken to the United States. In 2 weeks, the president makes his first visit to China, and speculation is the official announcement on U.S. pork could come then. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Apple's iPhone goes on sale in China today, but not all phones are created equal. It seems China's iPhones don't have Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi lets you surf the web on your phone when you're out and about. The thing is, the black market models available in China have Wi-Fi, and they're also cheaper.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. American Public Media presents Early Lessons, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
Today, the White House releases its latest tally of the jobs that have been created by the $787 billion federal bailout fund. But some are wondering just how accurate those numbers are. Rico Galliano has more.
The first job creation numbers were reported earlier this month by contractors, businesses which got Recovery Act money straight from the government to hire workers for specific projects. Those contractors said they'd created over 30,000 jobs. But depending on which news source you read, that number turns out to be either several thousand too high or too low. Either way, John Irons of the Economic Policy Institute says it's clear contractors made errors in their reports, but not because the process is too complicated.
In a lot of ways, this might even be too easy. They can either download a spreadsheet and upload it to the government website, or there's actually an online form, kind of, you know, the way you'd go about, you know, buying a book on Amazon.
That simplicity, Irons says, could lead contractors to be less careful with their numbers. The administration, meanwhile, says many of the reporting errors have been corrected, and the numbers due out today will be more accurate. Even so, Irons says the number won't give the whole picture.
This is only, again, a relatively moderate-sized slice of the overall recovery pie. It won't include any tax cuts. It won't include a lot of the aid to state and local governments that were included in the Recovery Act.
How many jobs those initiatives create will be harder to quantify, and it could be months before we get a solid estimate. I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
No matter whose numbers you believe, nearly 10% of this population is unemployed. And pretty much everyone agrees the economy can't really recover with so many people out of work. Robert Reich is the former Secretary of Labor and is a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Good morning, Robert.
Well, good morning, Stacey.
So it seems like job losses just keep mounting. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, eventually, but things will get worse before they get better. The experts I talk with expect double-digit unemployment through most of next year.
I thought that we'd been hearing a lot about how we'd kind of turned a corner in this recession.
Well, we may have turned a corner, but jobs are the last things to come back in a recovery. And this time around, I'm afraid they will be even slower because of the huge borrowing binge that led up to the recession. Consumers and businesses are reducing their debts and cutting their expenses, which means less demand for all the goods and services people produce. And that means fewer jobs. You know, profits are up, but in many companies, that's because they're cutting payrolls.
What does another year of high unemployment mean?
Obviously, it means hardship for millions of American families. Right now, one out of six Americans who wants and needs a job is either unemployed or underemployed.
So, Robert, what is a possible solution to this pretty bleak-sounding job picture?
Well, I wish there were a simple solution, Stacey. There isn't. There's no magic bullet. Next year is a midterm election, so Congress and the administration are going to want to do everything they can, or at least show that they're doing everything they can. So expect, for example, a new jobs tax credit awarded to smaller businesses that create new jobs. I'd also expect more small business loans, continuing spending from the stimulus package. That's going to help, that continuous spending from stimulus package, because much of it will be spent next year. But it's going to be offset by the states, which are cutting their budgets and laying off workers. The states are engaged in a kind of reverse stimulus. So the White House might try to increase or extend the stimulus.
In other words, we're going to be battening down the hatches?
I'm afraid so, Stacey. Wish this could be a more upbeat report.
Robert Reich is the former Secretary of Labor and a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
Halloween is tomorrow. This year, we'll spend about $4 billion on costumes and decorations. Where's the money going? Experian Hitwise compiled a list of the most searched for costumes on the internet. Among them, Michael Jackson, Balloon Boy, Tinkerbell, Sexy Sailor, and Adult Care Bear. You know, I used to watch Care Bears, and I definitely did not see that episode. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.